The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
You know, someone spun microphones on me here. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I'm at my appointed space.
Hey, guess what? It's live. We proved it's live.
I'm here where I'm supposed to be. At the appointed time. No Dominic. You know, he worked hard. 3 hours yesterday. Needs a day off. A little personal time. Recovery. He will rejoin tomorrow. And each and every day, they're forward at 3 o'clock. At least that's the plan. And I will find which microphone. You know, maybe we should test the mics before we start the show. Because there is no Don today, because, you know, we're a little off our game. Didn't test the mic. Here it is. Whoever crisscrossed the mics, I'm getting an ass beating later.
Well, you know, it makes sense because the one you're on is actually anchored in the middle. And the one that was in front of you was to the side,
because I had the fortune of signing the lease, selecting the space, helping to choose this very location right here, State Street, Wisconsin, Madison, WMDX Studios, right here. And then when they actually built the studios, they moved the location of the items as I would prefer to have them. Because I like to look out at State Street. Because it's glorious, and that's where the humanity is, and I'm in this for humanity. No offense to you, Rich. I don't want to stare at a production dude in a window. You're like the dog. How much for that producer in the window?
Not much for this one.
You know, so anyways, humanity that way.
Yes.
And then Rich. Lately screening your calls. So well, you know,
since Dom isn't here, I'll just say you're not much eye candy either. So we'll call it a draw.
Yeah. It is something of a penalty box over there. You know, you got the plexiglass in front of you. In case someone checks me into the boards later.
Well, you know how to open the door and get in here.
I do. It's not a... Contrary to, you know, a few urban legends in radio, I remember the story about a guy in radio locking himself in the studio and playing the same song over and over again. And years later, a program director walked me down the hallway and said, "You see any locks on any of the doors?" That never really, really happened. You know, there's not even furniture to pile up, you know, a couple of bar stools, maybe. That thing, that high top table over there for no apparent reason. Not facing the window. I would face the window. That would be my preference. Maybe when the new furniture, there's supposed to be furniture coming for the studio. This is my old stuff here. And I would have it facing that way.
Well,
did I make that point yet?
Perfectly clear.
Let's get into politics.
Bingo.
Going to wait till the 4 o'clock hour to tune into the Trump trial. You know, I know it's a big day. Day two. And it's not just Stormy. And it's not just hush money. David Pecker back on the stand. Also, the gag order. There was a hearing this morning and no ruling yet, but I'm pretty sure he violated Trump. So that will begin in the 4 o'clock hour, our discussion thereof. I do have a congressional candidate coming today at 4:30. He is John Zarbano. He is a retired lawyer and he's running against Glenn Grothman and CD6. He will join at 4:30 today, so we'll look forward to meeting John. First time he's been on the big show. And also, old friend of mine, not the first time this guy's been on, author of many books and a very direct guy in his own regard, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn's joining in the 5 o'clock happy hour. You know Matt. So Matt's coming on. He is a legal guy, a legal eagle amongst the stable of legal eagles we've had around this joint, friends of mine. So Matt Flynn going to talk about his new book and what's going on with the Trump trial, maybe some of the Wisconsin Supreme Court politics, lots of stuff to discuss with Matt at 5:05. But today, let's start with Eric Hudvey, the U.S. Senate candidate, Republican. And our friend, Bruce Murphy, over at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily, claims Eric Hudvey, oh, he's having another bad week. I am pretty convinced, Bruce, and I speak to Bruce, the author of this piece, that he's not really good at this. The politicking, so far, not proven to be a natural. More of a Brad Schimmel, in my opinion. Even the good news was an issue for the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, says the subheadline. So, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hudvey continues to be in the news, but not in a good way. 2 weeks ago, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin created a controversy with comments suggesting nearly everyone in nursing homes is not at a point to vote. At a point, that was a direct quote of him. Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 months life expectancy, he said. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. Now, this left, and we know Ben Vogel fairly well, he used to be over at Ron Johnson's office, but this left Ben Vogel, his campaign spokesperson, to explain that the candidate was not arguing that nursing home residents should not vote. In no manner did Eric Hudvey suggest that elderly people should not vote, Vogel said. He was referring to specific cases in Racine where family members raised concerns about their loved ones voting. Well, he brought that up as well, but, you know, the investigations never bore fruit. There were no charges leveled. And he forgot to mention that part. But anyways, Hudvey claimed that there were nursing homes where more than 100% of residents voted, as Bruce Murphy writes, which is not true. A Wisconsin State Journal investigation found that just one Dane County nursing home with only 12 residents had 100% voter turnout, and that elsewhere, turnout ranged from 42 to 91%. Now, former Milwaukee Bucks and Los Angeles Laker Hall of Famer, and he was in Airplane. We mentioned this last week. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the former Lou Alcindor, jumped on the controversy last week, Tuesday. A blog post entitled, GOP Candidate Wants to Take the Vote Away from Nursing Home Residents. A quote from Kareem, Hall of Famer. What's troubling here is his desire to take away the rights of people who have spent a lifetime contributing to this country based on a physical attribute, age. Even if there was some fraud, the goal should be to uncover it, not deny everyone in nursing homes the vote. Is this the guy who should be a senator? Question mark. Answer, probably no. Back to Bruce Murphy's writing. Meanwhile, rather than letting the matter drop, Hudvey went on a conservative talk radio show. Inferior folks, I'm telling you. Righty-whitey talk. And said he'd been misunderstood. You know, they cry so often, these victims, these righties. They try to say, I didn't want elderly people to vote, Hudvey said on WISN AM. I don't even know how they came up with that. But Murphy points out, as AP reporter Scott Bauer wrote on Saturday, Hudvey also said, and here's a quote, a large percentage of nursing home residents are not in the mental capacity to vote. Hudvey made the comment on Wednesday to Meg Olufsen, the Fox Radio host in Wausau, that's WSAU 550 AM. I perceive them as, you know, down the dial, lower class competition, but anyways. Also on Saturday, the New York Times offered a new and damning follow-up on the controversy, reporting that bank that hubby owns, Utah-based SunWest. And here's a quote from the Times. Last month was named as a co-defendant in a California lawsuit that accuses a senior living facility partly owned by the bank of elder abuse, negligence, and wrongful death. That's not what you want on your resume when you own that bank. Now, Hudvey's campaign called the suit meritless and said it was farcical to hold the chairman and chief executive of a bank responsible for the actions of a business that it seized in foreclosure in 2021. But as the Times noted, SunWest has claimed millions of dollars in revenue from its assisted living properties, including the Claremont Hacienda, the facility named in the lawsuit. Hudvey may be developing a problem with older voters, the story suggests. But it's not the only group of voters who might be bothered by his comments. In March, a story by the Daily Beast dug up a video of Hudvey in 2012 proposing that insurance companies should charge higher premiums for people living with obesity. He doesn't like fat guys like me. I'm not super fat, but I might cross some line. His comments came in the context of his opposition to the Affordable Care Act. You become obese, your health care is going to cost more, he told a public affairs channel, Wisconsin Eye. I would point out, I went to the doctor today. It's been like 3 times in 7 years, Eric. I'm doing okay. The doctor did suggest walks and watch your health and, lay off the sweets. Didn't say anything about the booze or anything else, any of the other sins I'd like to indulge in. So right now I'm thinking, more walks with the dog and I'll be okay. I'll stay out of the Target of Eric Hudvey. I'll try to remain an eligible voter despite his oh-so-high standards. I might have to pay higher insurance premiums in Eric Hudvey's world. This guy's running to be a U.S. senator. And he keeps saying, Jack, dumb stuff. Let's just say less than strategic things. If I was a candidate, and I know I'm always good for a haymaker or two coming out of left field, but if I was running for something, I might be more considerate of my prospective constituents. The elder, people living in nursing homes, and of course, those that would walk up and down State Street. I would turn my office, I would turn my desk permanently to face the humanity out there. I love the humans. I love when the humans play a part in this big show. It's glorious in Madison. You know it. Doesn't mean you can't call. 844-967-2789. The fine guests come later. Your calls could be next.
Malarkey. The devil's advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Taco Tuesday. My baby said, tacos tonight? I said, oh yeah. So there will be tacos on Taco Tuesday. That makes me quite happy. That and the glorious weather and your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Apparently I'm having a better week than candidate Eric Hudvey, Republican. We'll get back to him in a minute, but you got to have at least a couple of good Claires if you're a fine radio show. Here's the other Claire from Sun Prairie. How you doing, Claire?
Hey, Croup. How you doing?
Good. Been too long, other Claire.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to the original Claire on the phone, too, or on the radio. That statement of Hubby's that people in nursing homes, many of them don't have the mental capacity to vote.
Well, that's what he says.
And I would posit that, especially today, anyone that votes Republican doesn't have the mental capacity to vote.
One would wonder. IQ tests, I think they're forbidden at the polling places, but, I think there would be at least some correlation there. Low IQ equals Republican.
We just can't understand it. We just can't understand how in the heck could they still vote Republican with all that's transpired,
Well, they've got these wonderful messaging platforms. They've got right-wing talk radio. I mean, I don't know if that's the current number, but 81 right-wing talk radio stations in the state of Wisconsin. You got Fox News. You got OAN. You got, God, man, all kinds of news on the right. You know, if you're, if you got the proper echo chamber, Claire, and you never really, really get challenged on the points of view you put out there, I mean, damn, you can tell a lot of crazy lies. You know, it's I was commenting to my fine producer here, Rich, each and every day I've tried to watch Trump as the trial breaks and Trump runs out in the hallway. And I, Claire, have yet to see more than about two sentences, because every time the guy starts lying, MSNBC will shut him down. They'll turn him off. And I can see he's still speaking, but I can't hear what he's saying. Well, I know he's going to lie. I just want to see what lie he's telling today, Claire. But yeah, you would have to be amongst the sucker born every day to, at this late hour, continue to believe the falsehoods. Be it about, I mean, it's not just Trump, man. It's a whole party of MAGA, Claire.
Yep. And they're all around me out here in rural Dane County. Well, they got their flags out. One other point.
Yes, sir.
David Peckert. Has anyone mentioned what his gain was with the catch and kill? How did he? You would think that if he published these stories, his magazine would make money. But to kill these stories, where's the money? Where's his ambition in that? You would think there'd be a payment from the Trump people.
Well, there was payments from the Trump people. That's why there had to be this other LLC established. That's why when you eventually, and we'll get back to it, Claire, I appreciate your call, but when we hear Michael Cohen on the tape speaking with Trump about setting up the means of payment, it's $150,000, Claire, and it was actually for the first, the catch and kill, the Karen McDougal, and that was the David Pecker. So David Pecker had to be reimbursed. The National Enquirer had to be reimbursed for killing the story that Karen McDougal, this Playboy playmate, apparently claims to have had a multi-year affair with Donald Trump. So that apparently earned you $150,000. And to hear Trump tell it, not having sex with him on one occasion as a porn star, well, that got her paid $130,000. So anyways, you know, I feel better each and every day. I feel like Trump is starting to feel it. Know what I mean? Psychologically, this is worse than the possible outcome of this particular trial. There are some bigger trials coming, but the trial itself is starting to kill this guy. 844-967-2789. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Totter Billy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing just great. So speaking of confidence to vote, I do love football. I love my Packers, et cetera, and I feel compassionate for, you know, people who've had multiple concussions. But, you know, I do often tend to notice some crazy political ideas coming out of these football players who played for years and years, and then they're retired, and they say some pretty out there stuff. A lot of them seem to be in Trump's corner, and I'm not sure if there's any coincidence between that head trauma and the Trump support.
Are we talking about Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre? Because they both seemingly are sort of Trump MAGA, although I'm less clear on Aaron Rodgers, but the whole anti-vaxxer thing leads me to believe that maybe he's a Trumpster as well. But outside of that, man, I know guys like Leroy Butler and Gilbert Brown. Those guys don't strike me as particularly MAGA.
So that may be true. I just noticed, you know, the two that you mentioned and maybe some others every once in a while coming out and kind of like, okay, you've been hitting that maybe a few too many times and you support Trump.
Well, you know, Totter Billy, that might be the case, but you can't blame, you know, if you're part of an organization, unless it's the Klan or something, you know what I mean? If you're a Nazi, then I'm going to hold the association against you. Your phone's a little bit loud. I'm going to turn you off there. Appreciate the call. But let's say the U.S. military. I served in the military. But that's a pretty big organization. And that's like you saying, well, you know, maybe you soldiers got hit in the head a few too many times at boot camp because I hear you guys saying some dumb stuff. True. True, some of us did, and some of us say some dumb stuff. But, you know, I don't think I would say that NFL players got hit in the head too much and that's turned them into Trumpsters. I would say they probably like the tax cuts like lots of people do. And when you sort of live in this world with less consequence, you know, if you're a $20 million a year player, you got less consequence than a guy living paycheck to paycheck. And maybe you think you're voting your best interest in being supportive of a Donald Trump. But that fame, that fortune gives you freedom as well. Freedom to know, even if your dumbass ideas are wrong, you still got a hell of a safety cushion. But I would also note, many former NFL players go bankrupt very rapidly when the cash gets cut off. They don't know how to manage their money. You know, if they're not superstars, if they're not 20-year players, a lot of them go broke. So that seems quite Trump-like to me. Maybe you're on to something, Todd or Billy. Come back! More Devil's Advocates. Maybe your hot take. Maybe you're on to something. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Taco Tuesday edition. Some fine guests coming up later in the big show. Not Dom. He'll be back on Wednesday. But we do have John Zarbano. He's running for Congress in CD number 6. And author, friend of the Devil's, Matt Flynn joining in the 5 o'clock happy hour. Looking forward to all that. Also, I had been looking forward to, and this sounds weird, but Tesla's earnings report, Elon Musk, this guy's really starting to get on my last nerve. The Twitter guy, the guy that bought Twitter for $44 billion. Well, he used to have a corporation worth $1 trillion, Tesla. And they used to be the richest car company in the world. And since we've been on the air today, their first quarter earnings came in. And this guy's really, really having sort of an Eric Hudvey, sort of a bad year. Tesla earnings plunge even more than forecast. Earnings down 48% short of lowered Wall Street forecast. This is your genius, super genius, rich guy, Elon Musk. Not enough that he's wrecked Twitter. He's wrecking Tesla concurrently. That takes a lot of gumption. Anyways, back to the other guy having a bad week. According to Bruce Murphy, Online Daily, UrbanMilwaukee.com, a couple more of the statements made by Eric Hudvey. And then we'll move on, but I just want to go back there. In March, a story by the Daily Beast dug up a video of Eric Hudvey in 2012 proposing that insurance companies charge higher premiums for people living with obesity. And I guess I'd like to get your opinion of this. Is this a bridge too far? Calling out obese people, saying that they should pay higher premiums. Should this be held against this candidate? Well, let me continue what he said, but our phone number, 844-967-2789. So anyways, Hudvey advocates for higher premiums for people living with obesity. Now, I would point out, Eric Hudvey has a medical condition of his own. He has MS. He has a pre-existing condition. But he's a skinny guy. So, of course, the people that are more corpulent should pay more than him, at least that's his opinion. It's always something you don't have. You become obese, your health care is going to cost more, he told the public affairs channel, Wisconsin Eye. If they all of a sudden started to realize that they're going to pay more for their health care by consuming, you know, by consuming massive amounts of soda every day or fatty foods or not exercising, maybe they would change their behavioral patterns. It's a personal choice, says Eric Hudvey. Again, I'd like to get your personal opinion on this. 844-967-2789. It's a personal choice, he said, of obesity, But there should be consequences to those personal choices. Apparently, he means higher premiums. There was some good news for Hudbay last week, according to Bruce Murphy. The latest market poll found that Hudbay's opponent, incumbent Tammy Baldwin, was leading the race 52-47 among registered voters, but amongst likely voters, the race was tied. That seems illogical. I'm sorry. Didn't make sense last week when Charles Franklin told us. Now, beyond the headline, however, the data suggests that as voters get to know Hudbay better, his unfavorable rating is rising. That's why we're helping to get to know this guy better. A year ago, just 8% of those polled had an unfavorable opinion. In the most recent poll, 24% had an unfavorable opinion of Hudbay compared to 19% who had a favorable rating. That means he's what? -5 and still has a lot of people that don't know who in the hell he is. Meanwhile, Baldwin, 47% favorable, 42% unfavorable. That's very good. She's +5. That's very difficult in this day and age of partisan politics. Now, Hudbay needs to turn that around. And his recent comments are not helping his cause, according to Bruce Murphy at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. No, not having a particularly sound campaign so far. This Eric Hudbay keeps saying dumbass things, to my opinion. You know, maybe he'll polish. I don't know. Brad Schimmel never has. 844-967-2789. Personal choice. I wish Don was here. I'd start an argument with the guy because, you know, he just believes in wearing black t-shirts. They're slimming. You don't have to make any hard personal choices. Set aside any of your sinful indulgences. Just, you know, wear black. Look skinny. And you can get those fine items at devilradioswag.com. Rich is giggling at me. He knows my 17-year-old is the real impetus behind this. devilradioswag.com. Get the slimming black t-shirts and exercise becomes unnecessary. And we will not hike your insurance premiums, not unless you vote for Eric Hudbay. So anyways, there's that guy. And there's an article, and I want to get to this one and give a little more thought to why is it the Waukesha County DA is not pursuing charges against Rep. Janelle Branchon in an alleged fundraising scheme? Well, let's see. Oh, yeah, she's the DA of Waukesha County. As I spoke with Matt Flynn, again, he's joining at 5:05 today. Matt said basically the same. I'm kind of stealing his thunder. Now, why? Oh, yeah, she's the Waukesha DA. Molly Beck reporting at the Journal Sentinel, a local prosecutor is declining to pursue charges against a state lawmaker accused of being involved in a scheme. A scheme, I tell you, to evade campaign finance laws surrounding an effort to unseat one of the most powerful Republicans in Wisconsin, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He's the boss, Boss Voss. Waukesha County District Attorney Susan Opper said Friday she would not be filing felony charges recommended by the bipartisan Wisconsin Ethics Commission, but noted her decision did not clear State Rep. Janelle Branchon. Here is what the DA had to say. I am simply concluding that I cannot prove charges against her. While the intercepted communications, such as audio recordings, do you know there are audio recordings of Janelle Branchon scheming to break these laws? And the DA saying, you know, we know there are audio recordings and they may be compelling in the court of public opinion. They are not in a court of law. Yes, they absolutely are. When you've got a smoking gun tape, Perry Mason couldn't want it anymore. You know what I mean? Oh, well, yes, this tape might play in the court of public opinion. But what's it going to be in court? Evidence? Yes, that's what it's called, evidence. It's very compelling. Opper said in a statement, this decision does not clear Rep. Janelle Branchon of any wrongdoing. There's just not enough evidence to move forward to let a fact finder decide. The State Ethics Commission alleges former President Donald Trump's Save America Political Action Committee, Branchon County Republican Party, party officials, and the campaign committee of Adam Steen, who ran against Voss in 2022, conspired to avoid state fundraising limits for Steen's bid to replace Voss. Do you remember this scheme? The alleged scheme to flood donations to Steen's campaign materialized as Trump and Branchon pressured Voss to take illegal and impractical steps to decertify the 2020 election when President Joe Biden defeated, not President, Donald Trump by about 20,000 votes. You recall, well, they never seemingly got over the big lie. Back to the journalism here. In a press release announcing her decision, Oppert noted the Ethics Commission was able to authorize an investigation based on reasonable suspicion and then probable cause to refer charges to her office. But here's what the DA had to say, and this is then gruel, folks. These burdens are substantially lower than proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is necessary for a criminal conviction, Opper wrote, adding the commission could also pursue a civil violation. Well, she broke criminal statutes. Why would you not charge her criminally? Because you don't have a guaranteed bird-in-hand conviction? Because you got audio tapes, you got a smoking gun. That seems pretty damn good to me. This is very thin gruel, I'm telling you. This DA Opper from Waukesha County. This is a little hard to believe. But of course, there's already been a threat. What happens if the local DAs will not charge? The Wisconsin Ethics Commission already laid out what could happen. Now, Opper is the latest prosecutor to decline to pursue charges, with three others citing personal conflicts with the matter at issue because of ties with their local Republican parties, meaning they were part of the conspiracy. They're part of the groups conspiring. They're part of the groups breaking local campaign finance laws. Now, again, the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, made up of three Republicans and three Democrats, in February referred the alleged violations to several county prosecutors. Commissioners noted if prosecutors do not initiate charges within 60 days, the panel will take the referrals to another district attorney or, where are you on this one, Josh Call? The Wisconsin Department of Justice. Yes! I think it's been 60 days, February to March to April. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's been 60 days. Let's move on. Let's stop delaying. Let's not have another Trump circumstance. If people have broken the law, let's have swift justice for a change. Now, the recommended charges stem from a scheme allegedly orchestrated by Steen and a handful of county party Republican parties to funnel donations to Steen's campaign above the individual limit of $1,000 to the county party instead. So you write your check, you send it off to Langlade County or Chippewa County to some out-party Republican party, and in the comments line, kind of like Scott Walker taught us all to do it, instead of writing because Scott Walker asked, you write 63, because it's the fight in 63rd where Adam Steen was competing against Robin Voss. Friends of Adam Steen, here's a quote. Friends of Adam Steen advised people that wanted to give more than allowed under Wisconsin's contribution limits to send it to the Langlade County Republican Party with a 63 in the memo line of the check referring to Voss's district number, commissioners wrote in their orders. In August of 22, Steen and his campaign workers arranged for Trump's Save America PAC to donate $5,000 to be sent to the Chippewa County Republican Party and then transferred back to Steen's campaign. A little money laundering, if you will, folks. Now, the commission alleges that Branchon was one of several people providing advice to Steen's campaign, discussed the scheme with Steen on tape, and played a role in facilitating donations from Trump's PAC to GOP parties in Chippewa, Florence, and Langlade counties. Sounds pretty damn guilty to me. There was at least one recorded conversation where she was discussing getting money from the Save America PAC to the county party, commissioners wrote in the order. Branchon also donated $3,000 to the Langlade County GOP head of the primary, and as the rep to the assembly since 2014, and the fact that she heads up the elections, committee, or at least she was, she would probably know and be well aware that she could not give more than $1,000 to Friends of Adam Steen. It is also clear that she was supporting Mr. Adam Steen and was aware of the arrangement between Friends of Steen and the Republican Party of Langlade County. Oh, she knew. Just days before the 2022 primary, during which Voss defeated Steen by fewer than 300 votes, Trump held a rally in Waukesha County. We were there, during which he leveled condemnation at Voss and revealed to the crowd that the former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, corrupted embarrassment, hired by Voss to review the 2020 election, had endorsed Steen in the primary. Branchon also spoke at the rally. Interesting point, though, and I took note of this mentally at the time. Trump likes to kiss everyone. To the best of my knowledge, Janelle Branchon did not get a smooch from the former president. I'm just saying. That's different conduct than most get. You know, normally it tic-tacs up. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come on back. Join us, 844-967-2789. I see you, callers. We'll start with you next.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. The phone lines toll free for you, 844-967-2789. Going there now. Start with Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
I wanted to return to the subject that you brought up in the last half hour, Crudy, which was about the California banker who seeks to be our Wisconsin senator, Mr. Hovde, and his statement that he felt that people who are obese should pay more or even maybe not get health insurance because obesity, he claims, is something that you can change. You can make personal choices, and this shouldn't be an issue for you. I wanted to mention there was just in the last year, there was a material came out from a study. It was the first one done in the country where they looked at obesity by zip codes, and they also looked at obesity by not self-reporting, but instead by electronic health record, meaning it's based on height and weight measurements when you're at your doctor's office rather than what you say.
Not what Trump tells people when he's being booked in for arrest.
Right. So in Wisconsin here, it was 41% of adults are described as obese under that criterion. And the interesting thing about this study that was looking at zip codes was that people in rural areas of Wisconsin tend to be more than four times more likely to be obese than people in other zip codes. And it isn't surprising when you think about the fact that, you know, you can't bike everywhere. You can't walk everywhere. You are really much more dependent on a car when you live in rural areas in Wisconsin. So I thought it was an interesting thing to throw into the mix that if 41% of Wisconsinites are described as obese, that's a lot of people, he's saying, shouldn't be getting health insurance. They should just make, quote, better personal choices, which also makes me wonder when he says that he has the pre-existing condition of MS, which is, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. That's not fun at all. But I am sure that he is getting Cadillac care. I am sure with his daddy's money and his money that any drug treatment regimen that he wants to get, or let's say gym membership that he wants to get, or trainers that he wants to get, Mr. Hovde is getting. So he might want to just sort of, again, come to Wisconsin and meet people and start asking some questions rather than going with these assumptions of his, which I find to be sort of immature, I guess is
Joe,
the only way to say it.
Let me play devil's advocate for just a minute. I've always been comfortable with the fact that I'm a bald, chubby guy. And I have been for most of my adult life, but wasn't always. You know, when I was in the military, I actually gained a lot of muscle weight. Something about doing push-ups all day long because, you know, it just put muscle on me. And I met the clinical definition at the best shape of my life, height and weight of being obese. And they used to have to use a tape. In the military, they would tape you, and it would be the ratio. If your shoulders and chest were substantially larger than, let's say, your waist, well, then you'd be just fine. It was about proportion. But even to this day, I know, because I was at the doctor this morning, Joe, I meet the definition of obesity. And I don't think I'm obese, but I'm above 6'2 and 239 pounds, whatever that threshold that Trump claimed that one time, that was like a pound below obese. Well, I'm at least a few pounds above that number. So, Joe, I will just tell you, I think it is a personal choice, at least on the margins. I'm not telling you that every person that suffers through obesity is not trying in their whatever, but I'm telling you, my obesity, my textbook definition that I currently meet, this height-weight ratio, is because I've been lazy, Joe. Because I'm not putting in the exercise. Well, I sit through the winter and it's cold and I don't go to the gym. I got a health club membership. It's a mile from my place. I could be there in 5 minutes. That hasn't motivated me. But I got to tell you, if there was a savings to be had, if I could lose 20 pounds and save $200 a month on my health care, that might be motivating to me, Joe.
But then let's look at those folks for whom that is even not even a possibility. They don't have access to a health club. They don't have the money for a health club, or they don't have the time for a health club. A single mom who's got kids and is running around trying to get a lot accomplished. So I think it's too easy to say, well, it's personal choices. It's personal choices if people drink, and maybe that adds on pounds or creates health problems.
I'm sure it has added a few pounds in my life. Joy, have you ever seen the people walk into the health club and they just swipe their card? And then they turn around and they walk out of the health club. And one day I asked someone what they were doing at like the Princeton Club on the West Side. Apparently they get some sort of a cost reduction, or their employer, somebody gives them a benefit if they go to the health club so many times per month. But you can't make them work out there.
Well, my point being is that there are lots of things that contribute to health. And if we start to look at those things that are under our personal control, a person who's in a situation like Mr. Hovde, where he has a lot of free time, he can make free time and pay for the best health club that he wants and pay for the best food that he wants. He could probably have a personal chef on staff for himself, unlike the rest of us. So I just wanted to throw that thought in there when we start to think about these things. And wouldn't the better situation be that we give ourselves healthcare, and then we also provide ourselves with ways to improve health rather than having a stick over people's head. So that's just my 2 cents there, Crudy. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for listening. Appreciate your contribution as well. I also think processed food. Money factors in. You know, if you're looking to put food on the table in 15 to 30 minutes each and every night, you are probably going to go to the cupboard and open up a box that has some very processed, highly processed food in there. And these industries are making us fatter and sicker. And I truly believe this, perhaps not a concerted effort, they don't want their consumers to die, but they sure want them to eat more potato chips. And anyways, it becomes a monetary issue. You know, people of means can go to Whole Foods, they can go to Willie Street, and some people go to the Burger Czar. Come back, more Devils.